Today, as we begin another program here on The More Abundant Life, I would like to invite you to stay tuned to our program today. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for The More Abundant Life. This radio program is one which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wintley Phipps. And today, the message that Pastor Phipps has chosen is entitled First Things First. It's a very intriguing title, and I invite you to stay tuned to hear all about this title, First Things First, here on The More Abundant Life. As we do from time to time when we have the more lengthy messages, we're going to go straight to the message instead of going to our usual special music. I hope you won't mind today, but we really think this message is important. So, without further ado, here is the title for today, First Things First.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. One verse of scripture this morning, verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My message this morning, first things first. It was quite a day for Mary and Martha when Jesus stopped by to visit at their home. As you could well imagine, both Mary and Martha wanted to make it a most memorable day. But suddenly, Mary and Martha were found in the crosshairs of competing priorities. On the one hand, both Mary and Martha wanted to honor Jesus. On the other hand, because their priorities were different, they went about showing him honor in different ways. Martha chose to do what she felt she did best. Martha was a wonderful cook. She set out preparing an elaborate and sumptuous meal. I imagine that Martha's rolls and veggie loaf were legendary. The Bible tells us that Martha was so busy cooking and setting the table that she was distracted with much serving. Like most women who pride themselves with their serving and cooking, Martha wanted this meal to go off well. It soon became apparent to Martha, however, that all this preparation was too much for her to handle by herself. With so many pots in the fire at one time, Martha was at her wits' end. Who was going to set the table? Who was going to pour the drink? Her mind was so occupied with the necessary that she lost sight of the real purpose of Christ's visit. And suddenly there she was, all nervous and worried, trying to get Mary's attention. Mary sat there before Jesus, transfixed, apparently oblivious to Martha's plight or her calls for help. Mary didn't move. She sat engrossed at Jesus' feet, listening to his word and his teachings. Finally, Martha positioned herself where Mary could see her and gave her that, "You hear me calling you, look." Still, Mary wouldn't budge. She gave her another look that only sisters can give each other. Now, you know, sisters know how to give each other a look. You know that girl, if you don't come here, look. You know what I'm talking about today. She beckoned to her with that stiff index finger that speaks volumes when it starts to bend. You know, your mother used to look at you and just do that. Spoke volumes. But Mary sat there, ignoring Martha's earnest invitations to join her in the kitchen. Suddenly, Martha couldn't take it anymore, and almost in tears, she blurts out, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work alone? Lord, don't you care anything about how much work it takes to feed all of these men? The least you can do is tell my sister to help me. Tell her to get up from off of that floor and come in here and help me." Jesus already knew how Martha felt, and now everyone in the house knew how she felt. They could tell that her nerves were shot. Even with Jesus in the house, Martha lost her cool. Someone said Martha was so focused on anxiously preparing bread while the bread of life was in her house. Well, the Lord took this as an opportunity to highlight the contrasting priorities that were driving and consuming both Mary and Martha. The writer C. E. Neill Straight once said, "The future," he said, "what opportunities will be met? What paths traveled depends on the priorities and purposes of life." On that day, Mary and Martha, in the same place before the same Lord, had very different priorities. Our Lord, instead of commending Martha for her zeal, sort of rebuked her. "Martha," he said, "you are worried and anxious about many things, but only one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good portion, which shall not be taken from her." I love the way the Clare Word translates this verse. The Clare Word says, "Martha, Martha, you are helpful to everyone in need, and you're going to great lengths to feed us and make us comfortable, but there are more important things than food and comfort. Mary came to me because she recognizes her need. She was chosen. She has chosen the right thing. What I'm telling her will help her the rest of her life." Now, church, our Lord wasn't belittling Martha's work. He was trying to rearrange her priorities. I'm talking about first things first. Brothers and sisters, Martha became so wrapped up in the here and now, she didn't have time to hear about the hereafter. This morning, the Lord is saying, there is so much of Martha in us. In all of us. In this busy life of ours, it is so easy to become distracted by the necessary. And then what happens is our praise goes flat. Every day we put so much of ourselves into the hard duties and obligations of life. We're so busy trying to better ourselves materially and financially that by the end of the week we're bush. We're spiritually wrung out. We're Martha Christians. So many of us have allowed our schedules to strangle our Christian lives. We are suffocating in the fog of our own agendas. We are choking on our busy calendars. God is calling upon us today to reorder our priorities, rearrange our schedules. Now, you know you're in trouble when you look back at your week and the total time you spent on your knees in prayer doesn't add up to the time you spent brushing your teeth. Let me say it again. You know spiritually in trouble when you spend more time during your week grooming yourself than you do on your knees in prayer. Servant of the Lord once said, "Watch, lest the busy activities of life lead you to neglect prayer." Have mercy, Jesus. If we make the things of this world the main priority in our lives, we become spiritually impoverished. If worldly things are the things that consume your strength, if they are the goal of your living, you are a pauper in God's sight. For what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So labor not for the meat or the things which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth to life everlasting, Jesus wants us to never forget that all these things we are working for in one fell stroke can be taken away. Just like that. There is nothing that you spend your whole life working for on this earth that can't just be taken like that. In the church, we've got male Marthas and female Marthas. Marthas who are losing their souls doing the everyday necessary things of life. In Milan, there's a cathedral there, and it has three doors and three inscriptions over each door. Over the first door, it says, "All that pleases is but for a moment." On the other door, on the other side, it says, "All that troubles is but for a moment." But over the central door, there is a simple sentence that says, "Nothing is important except that which is eternal." Amen. Yes, sir. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what? And what? His righteousness. Brothers and sisters, that day, the kitchen was separating Martha from God. What is it for you? What is your kitchen? What's separating you from God? Martha knew Jesus, but because of her duties in the kitchen, she was losing out on the privilege to know him better. Now, some of us know the Lord, but we're losing out because we're so busy. Are you with me today? Yes. On the precious privileges we have of knowing him. We let earthly things eclipse our faith. We put at center stage in our lives peripheral things. And we elevate things that are marginal and give them value they do not deserve. Now, I'm coming to something very important today. Listen carefully. God is calling upon us to put first things first. Amen. Some of us come up with great excuses not to put first things first. You know, like the man who said, "Lord, I want to follow you, but I just purchased a farm and I got to go see about it." And the other one who said, "I got some cattle, I need to inspect it." Another said, "I just got married, I got to go see about my wife. What's he doing where he is in the first place? That's what I wanted to know." The truth is, their priorities were all messed up. The man who bought the piece of ground could have been inspected it another day. The one who purchased the oxen could have tried them out another day. The one who was married could have gone and got his wife, brought her with him. All right. Yes, sir. Excuses, brothers and sisters, often reveal our priority. They were more interested in their fields and their oxen than they were in honoring the invitation of Jesus to come into fellowship. It's no sin to buy a field, Jesus was saying. But when you take that field and you put it before fellowship, we've got to learn to put first things first. Amen? Brothers and sisters, as Christians, we cannot become so engrossed in our business, ambitious in our pursuit of earthly goals, that we push God to the side. We can't let excuses destroy our priorities. We should never place our business, our ambition, our family before God. It's a tragedy when we're so preoccupied that we can't remember spiritually. We've got to put first things first. Where are your priorities this morning? I'm dealing with your priorities this morning. In recent years, some of you remember Jimmy Johnson. You know that name? Coach of Miami Dolphins. Before that, he was in Dallas. He divorced his wife of 26 years when he left coaching the college team to become head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm talking about priorities. He said, and this is what he said he needed a wife while coaching on the college level for social functions and to show families that he would be looking out for their sons. But in pro football, he said, she was an unnecessary accoutrement and a distraction to winning. He said winning football was his number one priority. Have mercy. You're talking about twisted priorities. Now contrast that with Tom Landry. He said the thrill of knowing Jesus is the greatest thing that ever happened to me, he said. He said, I think God has put me in a very special place, and he expects me to use it to his glory in everything I do. Whether coaching football or talking to the press, I'm always a Christian, he said. Christ is first, family second, and football third. Well, thank you, Lord. Did you know that God gave us the Sabbath to help keep our priorities straight? Oh, are you listening to me today? If you are too busy to stop one day in the week to praise God and come to church, you're busier than God expects you to be. Amen? All our lives, we will remain spiritual midgets if we let ourselves be distracted. We got to learn to keep our priorities straight. Life is a symphony when your priorities are straight. Oh, did you hear me today? Life is a symphony when your priorities are straight. The difference between a good doctor and a bad doctor is not that the good one doesn't think of how he's going to get paid. The difference lies in what the man puts first. In other words, when a doctor's treating you, you want to know that he's got your good first. Amen. Now, both need to be paid. Amen. But the one who's treating you, you want him to have his priorities straight. Our priorities are so messed up in this world, we don't even realize it. What am I saying to you? If you give your child a dollar to put in church and $20 to go to Blockbusters, what does that teach a child about your priority? You got mighty quiet this morning. If you give your child a dollar bill to put in church and you give him $20 to go to Blockbusters, what does that say? What does that teach your child about priorities? I'm talking about putting first things first. A farmer, I read this ad in a newspaper, blew my mind. It went something like this. Farmer with 160 irrigated acres wants marriage-minded woman with tractor. And then at the bottom it said, when replying, please send a picture of the tractor. That's somebody whose their priorities aren't straight. Many people these days carry so much. God will take care of you if you keep your priorities straight. Amen. Some of us carry so much insurance against future losses that we go hungry trying to pay the premiums. God will take care of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? All these things shall be added unto you. Now, brothers and sisters, is this scripture saying that we got to learn to live from hand to mouth? Well, if you got to live hand to mouth, it's okay if it's your mouth and his hand. You're going to be all right. Hallelujah. If it's your mouth and his hand. That's why he says, seek ye first. Keep your priorities straight. Is it wrong to plan and work out a budget? No, as long as you put first things first. Is it wrong to lay aside for a rainy day? No, as long as you've got your priorities straight. Like in Israel, if God gives you more than you need today, you ought to store some away. Amen. No food was to be wasted. Science tells us, brothers and sisters, that a single glass of water can bring in a dense fog. You can't let just some little thing obstruct your view of God. When Jesus said to Martha, one thing is needful, Jesus was saying, first things first. Now, I want you to do something for me today. Take a pencil and a piece of paper, everybody who can. I want you to go in your purse, any little piece of the bulletin you can find. Amen. And I want you to get a piece of paper. And I want you to write something down. Praise God. I'm talking about first things what? First things first. It just so happens they all begin with F. I want you to write down faith, family, friends, finances, fun, fitness, faith, friends, family. I'm mixing it up for a reason. Faith, family, friends, fun, finances, fitness. Okay, now I need for you to be very honest this morning. I want you, on another little piece, to take those six priorities, and I want you to list them by the ones that mean the most to you. I want you to list them by the ones that mean the most to you. Did you list them? By the ones that mean the most to you. The priorities that mean the most to you. There will be a test. All right, and now I want you to do one more thing. In your honesty now, in this moment, may change your entire life. I want you to list next to those priorities that mean the most to you. I want you to list them by the order of your investment of your spare time. Wait a minute. Which of those priorities receive the most of your spare time? And be honest, it will change your life. In terms of actual time, which of those priorities receive the greatest investment of your spare time? I want you to know, if you have been honest, for most of us, it is completely reversed. What we say are our priorities, and what we invest our spare time in are often totally, completely reversed. Most people end up with faith at the bottom of the list if they're honest about how they invest their spare time. Am I not telling the truth? It is a sobering exercise. No wonder Jesus stood and said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest, family, friends, finances, fun, fitness, will fall into place."
Well, that brings us to the end of the message for today, the message entitled First Things First. I do hope that you enjoyed the message and that you understood it. We always like to thank Pastor Phipps for these inspiring messages, and today indeed was a very special one. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, I invite you to call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number there again is 301-577-6342. When you call, you will want to ask for program number 189, which will give you the message that you heard today entitled First Things First. That's program number 189. Also, if you would like to visit the Seabrook Church in person, the address is 8900 Good Luck Road in Lanham, Maryland. That's 8900 Good Luck Road in Lanham, Maryland. Lanham is a suburb of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. And for directions, you may call the church office. Again, the phone number is 301-577-6342. Please keep in mind that worship services are held each Saturday morning at 8:15 a.m. and again at 11 a.m. Well, until next time, my name is Adrian Westney, Jr. As always, I'd like to wish you God's richest blessings for the week, and I do hope that you will join us again for another program here on The More Abundant Life. But until you can, please remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10 in the Good Book, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
In your heart.